Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And our follow-up Friday continues as we move on briefly to internet addiction while discussing how digital technology impacts families with Lynn Schofield Clark, author of The Parent App this week. We received a couple of troubling calls. One mother called in whose son became addicted to the online role-playing game World of Warcraft, at one point playing for 16 hours a day. He lost 40 pounds, dropped out of college, she said, just a bad situation all around. And then we heard from this mom.
We didn't realize how bad it was until he came home from school one day, one weekend, and I said, you're so thin. What's going on? I said, I'm just trying to be healthy. All he was doing was gaming. All he was doing. And he had that mental capacity to keep up his schoolwork. Wow. And he disappeared into the cyber world.
So we wanted to learn a little more about this problem, and joining us briefly is Howard Markell, professor of psychiatry, public health, history, and pediatrics at the University of Michigan, and author of An Anatomy of Addiction, Sigmund Freud, William Halstead, and the Miracle Drug Cocaine. Professor, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So what constitutes internet addiction as simply opposed to heavy use?
Well, that's the million-dollar question that a lot of doctors and psychiatrists and, of course, people who have this problem are trying to figure out. You know, the notion of what is an addiction and what isn't has been changing at light speed over the last 20 or 30 years. You know, it used to be you had to take some type of substance and ingest it into your body. And a long time ago, you had to have a physical withdrawal symptom once you stopped taking it. Now, that's no longer the case. But things like, hypersexuality or internet use or gambling, if you would have brought this up 10 years ago to, a medical conference, you'd be laughed out of the room. But what we're finding out is that more and more behaviors that give you some sense of pleasure, can and do have the potential for becoming an addictive behavior. Now, some of the cases you've just discussed, when you're really causing harm to yourself, that you've lost your job or you flunked out of school, you're losing an incredible amount of weight, you're doing nothing but that behavior, that would pretty much go into the definition of addiction. It's sort of like pornography. You recognize it when you see it, but it's hard to define it just off the bat.
In fact, I've seen that there's a debate over whether compulsive internet usage is should be included in the DSM, which is out, the latest edition is out this spring, the kind of official list of mental disorders, and they decided to only include it in the appendix.
Right. You
applaud that move, right?
Well, yeah, I think because, this is just putting on my hat as a historian of medicine, is that, disease concepts change over time, and they change over time because hopefully we learn more about them. And that's certainly the case with all addictions. With new knowledge in neurobiology and methods of imaging the brain, particularly of addicted brains, we've learned a lot about the pleasure center of the brain that's called the limbic system. It's a rather small area. And basically anything that gives you pleasure, from, a hit of heroin to, hanging out with your children, will be mediated in that part of the brain. So we know more about it, and the psychiatrist who wrote that DSM-5 thought that these things should be included in our consideration.
Can we blame the games, blame the technology, or are certain individuals just hardwired for addiction, whether it's behavior or substance-based? In other words, if you weren't addicted to the internet, if there was no internet, if there were no massively multiple-player online games, would you have a cigarette or heroin dependence instead because that's who you are?
Well, I like to take blame off the table. I mean, if you got rid of everything, of course they wouldn't exist, but that's not going to happen. We do know that there are certain areas in our genetic makeup that may make us more or less likely to be addicted to something. And there's various genes that have not yet been identified, but they're rather close together. So you could have a predisposition genetic-wise to heroin addiction, but not to, say, marijuana, or you could to a behavior, but not to cigarette smoking. That said, you have to be careful. All of us have to be careful engaging in any pleasurable activity or ingesting any pleasurable substance that changes our sense of where we are and who we are, because the addict within could be unleashed at any time.
We have about a minute left. How do you treat internet addiction? Is it different from treating other addictions?
Well, it's a lot of behavioral treatments, a lot of talk therapy, and a lot of support. And there have been models using, 12-step models like they use for, alcohol and other substances that can work. But it's a very tough road to hoe, and these people need all the help and support they can get.
Howard Markle is professor of psychiatry, public health, history, and pediatrics at the University of Michigan. His book is An Anatomy of Addiction, Sigmund Freud, William Halstead, and the Miracle Drug, Cocaine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, in case you've been hearing in other media that police in Connecticut are investigating a possible shooting at an elementary school, it's in Newtown, and we're awaiting confirmation of this story, and we'll tell you what we know as soon as we can. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.